Now, I was reading some report about world happiness. That's the title of the report, World Happiness. It's interesting to see that what the article said about this in a worldly view. All the reports and articles talk about how happiness is decreasing. People are becoming more and more depressed. One article talked about in America, happiness reached a 50-year low. Now, I don't know how you can really judge that per se, but it sure feels that way. And I was reading another article talking about how they can fix world happiness. Fix it. I know where I'm going with this. But this report said that bad government causes people to become less happy. According to a survey results in 2005, people across the globe were more satisfied with life when their governments were more effective, enforced the rule of law, had better regulations, controlled corruption, which, it does make sense. If you have a better government, you're probably going to be more happier where you are. But the sentence I found was very interesting here. It said, overall, being confident in your government goes hand in hand with a satisfying life. And as I was reading this, I was just thinking, this world keeps trying to find this thing called true happiness. And the world tries to fix find true peace and happiness, but in doing so, they're killing themselves trying to live. Why? Well, we look to money, we look to alcohol, we look to drugs, we look to government, we even look to other people to find this thing that's called true happiness or true peace. But as Christians in this room today, we know that Jesus, right, is the only hope for joy and true happiness for everyone. We have God as our help. As the world looks to temporary things for help and hope, we look to the one true King. But we can't rely on government for happiness. We don't look for temporary pleasures of this world because true happiness, true joy is found in Jesus. Not government, not man, not money, but God. And the psalm I want to read, which links to a lot of stuff we talked about in the Sunday school hour, is Psalm 146. And it's titled there, depending on your translation, The Happiness of Those Whose Help is the Lord. And let's read this psalm, Psalm 146. Psalm 146, starting in verse 1 there, says, Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my need. Do not put your trust in princes, nor the son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to this earth. In that very day his plan perish. Comparing your translation, it will say in verse 5, Happy or blessed or joyful is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bow down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He reveals the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray for you. Dear God, Father, we just thank you for this time we can be together in this hour to open your word. Lord, we just pray now you give me the word to say in your name. Amen. Verse 5 there says, Happy or blessed is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now, depending on your translation, it will say blessed. In Psalms 128, another chapter in this book, we see the same thing. This word happiness or this word blessedness are the same thing. Other translations say, But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their help. The Hebrew word for happy here, I have in the New King James Version I'm reading, but it's better translated to be joyful. Happiness is more of an outward expression. Joy is inner. It's inner. There should be both if you are a born-again Christian. And what I want to do today is really focus on some more points, 3 points for us as believers who have true happiness, looking at Psalm 146. And the main reason why I picked this psalm to read is because part of this chapter highlights 3 things for us. It's a call, a warning, and a blessing. We're going to look at a call, a warning, and a blessing, all tied to how we can find true peace and joy in troubled times, in any situation. If we have God as our help, number one, we have a call to praise the Lord. And I'm talking about praise in a special hour. We're going to briefly mention that again. That's number one. We have a call to praise God. Number two, we have a warning in putting trust in man. And number three, we have a blessing. It's a blessing of true joy and true happiness. And that's what I want to focus on this hour. A call, a warning, and a blessing. So let's look at number one. We have a call. Verses 1 and 2 of this psalm, I'll read that again. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. When we have God as our help, when we have God who made the universe, when we know that God loves us and what he did on the cross, we shouldn't help to do anything but to praise him. That's all we should do. When we think about the sinners we are, and when we think about who I am, you know, and who you are, born with sin, oh, it's a privilege to stand up here and to call him Father, to call him our Savior, to come together and worship and praise him. Praise is found throughout Scripture 248 times in the King James Bible, more than 155 times in the Psalms. And once again, I mentioned this in the Sunday school hour, but praise is a form of worship, which involves declaring God's greatness, his character. Right? It's an expression of humbling ourselves and centering our attention upon the Lord with heartfelt expressions of love and thanksgiving. And we can do that in so many different ways. We can praise him with singing. We can praise him with our words. We can praise him with instruments. We can praise him with other believers. There is a call to praise God, but here's the reason why I love these two verses in Psalm so much. It doesn't just say, praise God. No. Look at verse 2. It says, while I live. And at the end of the verse it says, while I have my being, I will sing praises to my God. Another translation says, I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. The poet here, he makes a vow to praise the Lord for the rest of his life. This is not just a Sunday thing you do once a week. This is not just a weekly tradition where maybe you will do it 2 times a week, Wednesday and Sunday, or a seasonal thing you do around Christmas. While I have my being, I will praise the Lord. Until the very end of my time on this earth, and for all of eternity, I will praise the Lord. How amazing is that? We get to praise God forever. And we do it because he deserves all of it, once again. As we talked about earlier. He deserves all our worship. He deserves it all. Praise is not about me. Praise is not about you. It's coming to give God the praise and all the glory. And you know, the challenging thing, of course, is to praise the Lord and give him thanks. No matter what is happening. Troubled times. Bad situations. Many Christians will fall for the enemy's lies when we focus on the negatives of life. It reminds me of Philippians 4:4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. Now, when I think about that verse, I always think about one word in there. It's easy to say, but really hard to do, and it's that word always. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, we all think we can rejoice over, but sometimes it can feel like we don't. We can focus on the negatives. That's human nature. I know those days that maybe struggle weighs you down. I don't feel like my normal self sometimes. I get it. I understand it. And I would love to say here today, I'm always on a spiritual high. You know, I'm never down. That's not the case. Because the weight of the problems and troubles, maybe they feel too much. But as I was thinking of rejoicing always, I couldn't help but think about faith and trust. How can we rejoice always? Well, one way is by putting your trust and your focus on the right thing. The world puts their trust in man. They put their trust in worldly things. They put all their focus on work, school, sports, entertainment. They put all their focus on that. And we can become very distracted of the things of this world. And I start focusing on what the world has to offer. I'm human. I do it sometimes. And then I wonder, why am I not very joyful? You know, like, why am I not very joyful right now? Well, no wonder my focus, my trust is in the wrong thing. A psalm I read in Sunday school hours, Psalms 28:7, where it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." When we put our trust and faith in the right things, when we have faith in who Jesus is, there we can find that true peace, true joy. But we have to put our trust in the right things. This leads to the second point. Number one, we had a call to praise God. But number two, we have to have a big warning, okay? It's a warning in putting trust in man. Look at verses 3 and 4 there of this psalm, where it says, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no hope. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, in that very day his plans perish." Do not trust in man. Not even princes that are supposed to be at the top. Do not put your trust in princes and leaders and in government. Do not do it. Now, when I stand up here and speak, I try and avoid anything to do with government. I don't really want to talk about governments so much. But I'm very confident in saying this: voting Democrat, voting Republican, it's not gonna save you. You're not gonna find truth. Government's not gonna save you. It's not going to save you. Both parties is not going to save you. There's still going to be sin in this world. There's still going to be evil. Put your trust in God. Verse 4 talks about how when man's heart stops, he dies, is buried, and his body returns to dust. Man is mortal. Man is brief on this earth. And the crazy thing is, people still put their trust in man or themselves rather than God. Not only that, not only is man brief on this earth, but we have a heart problem, okay? We have a major heart problem. The heart is deceitful and wicked. One thing you'll hear all the time is this phrase, you might hear it before, but just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. That's one thing the world likes to tell you. One of the great actors that I enjoyed some of his movies, of Robin Williams, very famous actor who passed away a while back, but he had a lot of famous quotes. But one of his famous quotes he always loved to say was, "There are no rules, just follow your heart. There are no rules, just follow your heart." And you know, the world today, they think, as long as I just trust in myself, I will be fine. But Jeremiah talks about something about that. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there because I'll read some of these verses. Jeremiah, first look at chapter 17. Jeremiah says something about this. And Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." And in verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord." Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the heart." Oh, the wickedness of man. There's nothing good. There's nothing good in here as a human being. I'm just a failed sinner. And the only reason why I can have a new heart and new spirit is because of Him, right? Ezekiel 36:26. God says to His people, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you." It is all Him. It's absurd to think that I can cut open my chest, myself, take out my heart, stick a healthy heart in, sew it up, and then survive until the cell. Okay? Modern medicine is good, but it's not that good. You know, medical science is getting better, but it's not that good. No one can do it, okay? No one can do it. It's the same thing with salvation. True happiness and with God, we can't trust man to fix salvation. We can't trust man for eternal life. We can't trust man for true happiness. We can't put trust or man or anything. It's Him. He can do it. Not ourselves. And in Jeremiah 2 now, chapter 2, here we see Israel commits two evils. We see them putting their trust in worthless things. And I love these verses because it's such a good illustration. We can clearly see the foolishness when we put trust, when we choose other things over God. Jeremiah 2, verse 7 there says, I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. So Israel both defiled the land and made it an abomination through their idolatry. Okay? Through idolatry. And in verse 11 there it says, have the nations changed as gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory. For what does not profit? Verse 13 there says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. God's people had forsaken, had abandoned God. They looked at other things. They served worthless deities, worthless things. God is the fountain of living water, the never-ending supply of good, pure, essential supplies of life. But yet, the wording here is, they dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. I mean, they chose useless things. They left God. Having forsaken God's fountain of living waters, His people didn't work hard themselves for a lesser supply. And despite all their hard work, they ended up with just broken cisterns that were useless. Could not hold water. Not only did the people sin, but they chose their sin over God. God's like, they've forsaken me. It's like God's like, really? Like, you're going to be this foolish? I'm the fountain of living water, the never-ending supply. I'm the creator of all, and you want to abandon me. You want to trust yourselves with these broken cisterns. When we put our trust in man, ourselves, other things, it's not going to profit us anything. Man can't save us. Man can't save us. Man can't give us eternal life. And man cannot give us the true joy and happiness. Right? It's just that true joy. They might bring us satisfaction just for a little bit. But that's just a big lie in the end. Maybe it will make us happy for a week, 2 weeks. You can feel really good about it. But true happiness, true joy, true peace, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've known people who said they were a Christian and then they walked away from their faith. I've known people who say that church isn't for me anymore, that the church, the Christian life is not, you know, not, the Christian life isn't the only thing. There's more out there. There's one person I know who went involved in Christian camps and whatnot, but although he went to these different things, you know, he just kind of stopped going and didn't live for Christ. And he stopped going, he turned to other religions and saying there's more out there than Christianity. And, you know, I don't like that stuff anymore. And last time I talked to him, he was going back and forth from different religions because he couldn't find one. Like, he's just still searching. And, you know, it's so interesting because I've never met someone that said they were a Christian and then walked away from their faith. I have been just still searching. Because they go out thinking they can find better, thinking they can find this happiness because they want to do what they want to do. But they fall short. They can't find it. They can't find it. You know, the Bible is so interesting because the Bible never says, go out and find happiness. That's not what the Bible says. You will never find it. Go out and find happiness. It doesn't say that. But what the Bible does say is that seek first the kingdom of God says, put God first. It says, God is the fountain of living water. The Bible says, peace He will give you, that joy may be full. We look to Jesus, we look to His Word, and in doing so, they will find true peace, true happiness, because we surrender everything to Him. We can have this joy, this peace, because it is Jesus who satisfies. We have this happiness because we have a relationship with Him, a sinner that deserves God's wrath, and now a relationship with Him. And one day live in all of eternity with Him. And He's with us in this life. What a blessing that is. So if God is our help, well, number one, we have a call to praise God. Number two, we have a warning of putting trust in man. Now number three, if God is our help, we have a blessing. And it's a blessing of true joy and true happiness. Just look at verse 5 of Psalm 146. Verse 5 now says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I'm going to sound like a broken record today, okay? But I'll keep saying it because it's my main point. If you don't get anything out of this message today, get this. The way of true happiness, health, and hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God. I was thinking the other day about what the world offers to us versus what God offers to us. Hebrews 11 talks about temporary pleasures. The world offers you that passing pleasure of sin. Isaiah 55 talks about unsatisfying pleasures. That's what the world offers, unsatisfying pleasures. But what does Christ offer? What does Christ offer? Well, John 15 talks about that joy may be full, the fullness of joy. John 14 talks about my peace I give you. John 6 talks about He is the bread of life. He gives all fulfillment. John 10 talks about He came that He may have life and that He may have it more abundantly. It's an abundant life. Romans 8 talks about there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ. It's the forgiveness of sins. In John 3:16, well, we see He gives eternal life. If we have God as our help, we have true happiness and joy because it's Jesus who satisfies. Not the world. Not the world. There's a guy that I grew up in Augusta with, and he's now a police officer in that town. It's very interesting to hear all the stories that he tells. A lot of them are very, very sad. He sees firsthand just the terrible things of this world. And one thing was he sees a lot is actually, you know, a suicide, an attempted suicide. And you'll just be amazed that the number of suicides that actually happen that no one knows about. It's quite amazing that you don't really hear. But there was one call he went to, and he turned out it was actually his work partner's kid that was in the scene. He was the first one on the scene, and there he found his partner's kid that committed suicide. And more recently, my friend talked about another person who was 72 years old that shot himself. You know, suicide is just a normal thing now in this world. And how sad that is. It's such a sad thing. They have no hope. They don't understand the way of happiness and help and hope is to rely on the God of Jacob, to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. God is their hope, yet few people turn to Him. As a Christian, it's a blessing that we can put all our confidence in Him. Knowing that God is our hope. Couldn't live this life without Him. I don't know how people do it. We can live with confidence and peace knowing who God is. There is where we can find our true happiness. I just want to go down these verses in Psalm 146 now. And just see why we can have confidence in God now. Well, why can't we put trust in Him? Well, look at verse 6. I'll go down these verses. Psalm 146, verse 6 now says, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. Well, first there, He's our creator of all. He made everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If He can do that, what can't He do? We also see in this verse at the end, who keeps truth forever. God is not a God that changes. Okay? There's no risk involved in trusting Him. God says, I will give you peace. God says, I love you so much, I sent my Son to die for you. God said, if you believe in me, I will give you eternal life. We can put our confidence in that because we know He won't fail us. We know He keeps truth forever. He keeps His promises. Verse 7 now. Who executes justice for the oppressed. Who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Another way you can say that is God is our help is to say, another way to say God is our help is to say God is our provider. God is our provider. In both the spiritual and physical sense, He gives food to the hungry. Look at the end of that verse. It says, the Lord gives freedom to prisoners. One commentator says, from human oppression, from the chains of sin, from the grip of the world, from the bondage of the evil, and from selfish living, the Lord gives freedom. You want to have peace, joy, you want to be set free, run to God. Run to the Lord. Why? The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. In Luke chapter 4, we see Isaiah 61 quoted. And in the synagogue, Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 was read, which it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, He's presenting Himself as the answer. Well, whether we're talking about the physical sense or the spiritual sense, Christ is the answer. Are you brokenhearted? Are you blind? Are you bound? In John, it talks about those who are made free by Him are made free indeed. When a person comes to the Savior and receives eternal life from Him, that person is free from the slavery of sin. We can be set free through Jesus. Can the world do that? Can money do that? Can government do that? Can man do that? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. God is our help. God is our help. Look at verse 8 now. Verse 8 is going down these verses. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. What we see there, the Lord is the sight giver. He gives sight to the blind. Both spiritual and physical. He is the uplifter. He lifts up those who are bowed down because of their worry and struggle. And He's a lover of good men. He loves those who obey Him. Verse 9 now says, the Lord watches over the strangers. He reveals the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked He turns upside down. God is a friend of grieving. He upholds the fatherless and widows and all those who have no human. In these verses, we see all the things that show who God is and why we can have confidence in Him. It's just amazing verses. But you know what? It's very interesting. In verse 9, we have a switch. We get a switch from God is our help to then God is the judge of evil. The end of that verse says, but the way of the wicked, He turns upside down. You know, God is the God of love. He is love. And we can, should, and spend forever talking about the love of God, the love of Christ. But God is also a God of justice and righteousness. We read that God wants everyone to come to know Him. In the church period, He's extending mercy and grace. And I'm so thankful that I live in a period of grace. Okay? I'm so thankful for that. But in Revelation, we see that one day, that's going to close. And man will no longer have a chance. This is God. A God that, yes, is love, but is a God of full of justice. And He's going to come back and turn upside down the wicked. This is our God. And as Christians on this earth, as we spread the word, as we are witnesses to others, because it is our responsibility as Christians, the sad reality is many will turn God away. And many will find themselves eternally lost. The last verse there, verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. God will reign forever. If you are a believer in Christ, you will reign with Him forever. Now I'm standing up here today, of course not deserving of that. I don't deserve to be with God forever. I deserve God's wrath, just like you. I deserve to be the person that He turns upside down. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross, I have found true happiness and true joy because I know Christ. And I can say with confidence, He is my salvation and He is my hope. What a blessing that is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our hope. God's our hope. And so to sum up for Psalm 146, if we have God as our help, we have a call to praise Him. If God's our help, we have a warning of putting trust in man. And if God's our help, we have a blessing of true happiness and true joy. Just by knowing Jesus. Just about having a relationship with Him. We can find happiness. And I just want to leave you with some verses here. I'll read these quickly. I'll go down these verses. But Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalms 54:4, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life." Psalms 40, verse 17, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." And last, Psalm 63:7, where it says, "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice." I'll read that again. "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice." Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful that we have a God, that we have God as our help. Let us be thankful that no matter what is happening in this world and in the neighborhood around you and this town and government, whatever it may be, we have true happiness in the Lord. We can find it in Him. Let us praise God for that. So I hope you have been encouraged from the book of Habakkuk and Psalm 146 like I have been reading this. Trouble will come. Circumstances will always change. Things might not be going great right now in the human's minds. It's not easy, but don't worry. Focus on the right things. Focus on who God is and who's in control. And understand true peace, true joy comes from the Father. Not from our own understanding. Not from our situations. But from the Lord. Let's just pray. Dear God, Father, we just thank you once again that we can come here to praise you, to sing songs and worship you, Lord. We just thank you that we can fellowship with one another this Sunday to break bread, to remember who you are and what you have done. We just thank you so much for your word in Psalm 146. We just thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior, you are our strength, our hope. And just, Lord, as we go out, just daily be reminded that to focus on what's important, focus on the words written in your word, focus on your promises, focus on your character, Lord, and put our trust in you no matter what comes our way. We just thank you in your name. Amen.